hearts. Sharp swords with handle art to spar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads where bandits are. Catacombs and giant doors protect the chest that stores some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's a grand theft of Elder Scrolls, Simon's Quest with Toe and Earl, rocket shoes to Everclue, Easter eggs and gaming news. The POTUS need some bad dudes to crash a crew like Bandicoot. All shit a gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. That dash is a hyphen. Use it accordingly. We're also on Spotify, so give us some spins over there. Look for Control Issues. Let us know if you're having issues. You can go to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. Also, drop us a line at controlissuespod@gmail.com. And lastly, you boys are on Blue Sky. We're getting it going. We're getting it up and running. We're going to make it work. It's going to be just like it was, but better, maybe. I don't know. But we'll, you know, we'll see how life is treating us. But speaking of AMC, how you living?
Living well, A-Dub. It's that time of the year. Just the holidays are here, and so there's just so many activities going on. Perfect time for, like, kids, like, just letting them just enjoy all the experiences. You never know with kids, like, what you introduce them to, how they're going to react to it. But it seems to be, for the most part, okay, so for the most part, they love everything around the holiday season. But I will say, Theo and Naomi not having meat and Santa, like, up until around, like, the age of four. like that. Theo's cool with Santa, won't sit right next to him, definitely not sitting on his lap, but yeah. we'll sit next to Santa and, you know, bask in his glory. But Naomi, we tried. Santa came by our neighborhood the other night. Naomi was immediately not having it, and so I had to get in between them for the picture.
You come into town looking like a polar pimp. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Go sit on my lap.
Yeah.
You've been naughty at dice.
You got your elf hose with you.
Yes. Yeah. All your side elves.
Yeah. got your bottom elf. Yeah. Like, so yeah, it's cute. So everything's been good. We had fireworks right after last week's show. So I was rushing out last week. So yeah, we had to rush over to the beach, which is cool. It's like very California thing to watch fireworks on the beach for Christmas. But the fireworks are dope. Kids were loving, like, that nighttime, like, beach visit with, like, the waves crashing in the background. Can't see them though. And then the fireworks going off and, like, people running around. Like, you know what? Because it's 2024, it's just a lot of drones flying around, like, you know, taking video footage of the fireworks, which is cool. But just everybody brings, not everybody, but a lot of people bring, like, drones out to, like, film instead of, like, you know, holding the tripod themselves. So it is kind of cool to, like, just see a bunch of, like, robots, like, flying through the sky as, like, the fireworks are going off.
So first it was the selfies, now it's the drones.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's awesome. It's a great, like, family time. This week we're gonna probably do the candy cane lane, which is, you know, walk down the street that has all the lights up, and they go all out. Like, they have the kids on the corner selling the chocolate milk and popcorn, stuff like that. I think they even got just like regular food, like hot dogs and stuff going on now, just because so many people roll by and people are, you know, they're happy to contribute. And then, yes, we also got the mini trains. So I'm going to be busy with all that stuff for the kids and squeezing in. We want to watch this holiday movie with Jimmy O. Yang. Like, it came out a couple years ago. We watched it. We really enjoyed it. It's called, I think, Love Hard. And Marissa really liked it. And so she wants to watch that again this year. So we'll probably get that going tonight. And other than that, I've just been watching a ton of wrestling, some basketball, and started that show Tokyo Vice on HBO Max. It's like everybody's like crime drama, but from the 90s Japan, like Yakuza. So it's like it's that type of story, but very good. Really enjoying it. Probably recommend it by the time I'm done with it. And yeah, that's all I got going. Adele, what you got going on right now? How you been?
Well, not much. I mean, we work in somewhat a similar sphere as television and stuff. But yeah, just getting that last little rush. Like this is the last week before the winter break. Take a couple weeks off, get myself together, get back on track, clean up. And yeah, so just working on that. Got the holiday party coming up, so getting ready to get my form tight. See if I could bowl a 300 this year. Just a little something. But yeah, other than that, not much going on. Just chilling. I got some stuff in the mail. I got my Returnal art book, which I was very excited about, and also the Returnal graphic novel that I'm gonna read through. And the Returnal art book, I love the large format art books they put out for video games, especially when the developers really just give you everything that went into the game. Like this is the concept, this is what we were working on before we went in production, this is the philosophy, this is the backstory, this is how it ties into this is something you might not know, this is how we wanted to lay it out, and this is the message we convey. Like you come to understand games on a different level when you really look into the artistic process that went into crafting the world and the characters and all the items and such. So it's very inspiring for me to be able to see Returnal in its various stages of development, like all the pre-designed stuff, all the different variants. And oh man, yeah, that's going to be right up there with the Control art book for me insofar as reference material. So that's dope. I gotta, damn. Oh, you know what? Dang, I probably have to do that today. I have to get my ingredients so that I can bake cookies for the office. I believe we're only gonna be in the office on Monday and Tuesday. So I wanna get them in there on Monday just so people have something. I know that they're gonna be bringing in food and stuff on Tuesday. So I don't wanna overlap and just, make everything a little unnecessary. So I need to get that together tonight, and that's about it. Then we start getting ready for Christmas shopping, just getting cozy. I need to bring out the Charlie Brown tree, maybe get some little LED lights this year, but nothing much, man.
Well, how about them gaming, A-Dub? I know you've been getting them games going. We've been gaming together. What you been getting done,
Yes.
huh?
Oh yeah. So just to knock out the co-op experience, the
Yes.
multiplayer experience. I'm gonna be going hard at Overwatch season 14. We got the new tank hero Hazard. Haven't quite got him down, but I'm getting used to him very quick, starting to learn his loop, becoming menacing. He's pretty menacing to play against, so I need to also figure out how to take him down. But was getting down with you, getting down with East Single, stacking these wins up, putting in the time. I wanna do a lot of co-op this season, see where I really fall on the rankings. So when people talk that mess online, I could be like, hold on, young buck, I'm such, such, and such, and you can't talk to me like that. We'll see. It's not gonna be like that, but I do want to see if I can get a decent rank, or at least noticeably higher than what I was before, which was around like the high gold for tank, low mid platinum for DPS, but didn't really put much time in it, so I want to see how far we can get. It was great playing with you guys, always is, and we got to get them ranks up. We got to show these fools that we still got it. We still legit. And what else was I playing? Decided to get back in Gran Turismo 7. For the first time in several months, I've completed all five of the weekly challenges, got all those rewards. They were doing the Viewers Cup or like the Viewers campaign. So watch a bunch of races. Thank you again, AMC, for bringing that kind of thing to my attention, because now I'm getting these free rewards. Got 1 million credits for betting on the outcome of one of the races, or
Wow.
predicting the outcome of one of the races. And now I just gotta wait for my three gifts from watching the various events to come through. And yeah, just getting back in the game. Haven't touched my first Gran Turismo since that first time I played it, but it's a relatively short slice that I can go back and do that anytime. Getting a lot of Diablo 4 in. When I last left off, I had just gotten a Torment 3 using my Mighty Throw Barb, and I was like, dang, I don't know how I'm gonna get the power necessary to start farming all these tormented bosses. And then, I just set little small goals, like, all right, I'm about to level up. Like, okay, I got a better piece of equipment. Let's masterwork it. Let's do that. All right, now I'm going in the pit, bringing up my glyph levels, and then went to take on that first tormented boss, tore right through him. Like, I was completely over prepared for it. So now just inching my power up ever so much more, looking for greater affixes on my equipment. And just having a blast with that, seeing how far I could push the Mighty Throw ability of the Barbarian. I got it working in conjunction with Bleed, Berserk, and Overpowered. Like, it's just shredding everything. So I'm very satisfied with that. Popped on Cyberpunk for a second because of the 2.2 surprise update, which introduced a lot of customization and personal expression options to the game. Like, they added a bunch of new assets to the character creator, so I can make my character look even more cyberpunky. And they also added a bunch of photo mode stuff. But the thing that really got me is they finally added car customization, AMC. Like, not parts and stuff, but at least just the paint. And the way they did it was as cyberpunk as you could possibly get. They put in the system called, what is it, Crystal Coat. And then it has another subsystem called, like, Twin Tone. So what you do is you drive around the city, and if you're in a car that's has Crystal Coat enabled, what you can do is you can scan other cars, buy their paint jobs, and then apply them to your car in real time. And then they also made it a gameplay mechanic where now, if you get wanted by the cops, just break line of sight, dip off into an alley, crystal coat, change the color of your car, drive out the alley. They're still looking for your old paint, but they're still looking for you too. So it's not like, you just clear the wanted level. There's still, like, a smaller layer of the game there. But I appreciate that they added that level of depth, and they made it, like, uniquely cyberpunk. There's also a Balatro crossover mission in Cyberpunk, so I need to find that and see what that's about, in addition to going back and finishing Phantom Liberty. But it always feels good booting up Cyberpunk. That was one of the best games that's come out. It's awesome. And I think that's about it, because I'm waiting for the next patch for Stalker 2, which is supposed to address the issues with the A-life system that's in the game. I really don't want to push the game anymore, especially now that it's starting to get technically funky on me. Like, this is beyond Eurojank. So I'm just waiting for that A-life 2.0 update. I'll get back in that. Was trying to get into some Starfield, but the game decided it wants to crash on me within an hour of starting it up every time. So, just wait until the next update on that as well. But enough about me, AMC. What have you been playing?
A couple games, a dub, as you mentioned. Got some of that Overwatch 2. If I see you guys on, I'm gonna, if I have enough time, hop on, get a couple matches in. I'm just enjoying that like just sparking that competitive spirit when I hop into the game with you guys and we start to see some familiar faces out there that we want to take down, that we've had some battles with, that we want to just, get that final save. That's the last time we happen to go up against them. it's all good. And it's great. Like, we've had some good competitive matches where, we start out like kind of assessing the situation with the other team. And then by the end of the match, we just have that momentum going and we just gut out a victory. And those are just the most satisfying of wins. Like, I'll go to sleep with a smile on my face every time. And then not every time, every now and then we end it and we end on like a loss and it's just like, ah, like next time.
Yeah, it's the
But
worst.
yeah, it's still always a great time. We're just hopping on with you guys, strategizing, taking people down. There's nothing like it from just a multiplayer standpoint. Girlfriend game, playing that Stardew Valley still. Not much more to say there. We're in winter time. There was this raccoon that we found, and so there was first this like tree that had like an opening, and we walk up to it, it has an option, and it says like bring it some hardwood. So we get the hardwood. Next thing you know, there's a raccoon standing outside the tree, and the raccoon wants some, what was it? I think it wants some shells, like some mussels and something else. So we get that, give it to the raccoon. Well, we went back like a day or two ago, and the raccoon had a wife, and she had some stuff that she
Oh.
wanted as well. So what we learned with her is we need she wanted dried coconut, which means we need the dehydrator, which we haven't gotten yet. So we gotta go get that recipe, then get the ingredients, build the dehydrator. We already got the coconuts, throw the coconuts in there, and then we'll be able to hook her up, and then we'll see what happens with the raccoon's wife. But I know that she does have an option to buy some stuff, so maybe they'll just keep unlocking some more options. What I did notice, or what we noticed while playing, is that we're in wintertime now, and one of the things with wintertime is that it's a time for like really mining, maybe cut down some trees, but mostly mining, because you can't grow anything outside. Well, they did add one winter fruit. It's called I think it's called the powder melon. It's like a blue fruit, that like a almost like a watermelon that you can plant during winter time. So there is some winter harvesting that you can do now in Stardew Valley, which is a nice addition to the game. And apparently you can turn it into a super fruit, which is if you get, I think, like a 3x3 setup of melons, at least with the powder melons, then they'll all combine into one huge melon. And so it's something that you can just keep on your farm for just display at all times. One of those secrets that we learned about while playing the game. So that's pretty cool. And then with Stardew, Theo and Naomi have been wanting to play, so we made their characters in the game. It's kind of funny to watch. Like Theo, he totally has the dexterity to walk around, uses axe or his sword if he comes along some slime. But what I do like is that he's all about just like kind of following along and reading the situation. Like the worry with like playing with a lot of kids is, especially with a game that's very open like that, is they kind of get it and they just want to do their own thing, so they just start messing everything up or whatever, just because they want to test out the world. But he wants to see how we interact with the world, and then he kind of then he wants to join in. And so like I took him to these woods that have hardwood like stumps in them, but within there's slimes that are walking around those woods, so you have to fight them off as you make your way to the hardwood trees. And so Theo was enjoying like participating in that fight to take out the slimes, and then he would watch me cut down the tree afterwards. So it was just like going on like an outing with Theo within the Stardew Valley world. It's pretty awesome.
That's dope.
And then Naomi, she kind of knows how to like she knows how to walk around, but she has to, because I think it's the left stick is the movement button, and she uses her right hand to move the left stick. So she kind of just like moves the character around. There's not much Xing and triangle and squaring going on, because she's reaching across the controller to move the character. But she loves it. She wants to play it. So it's fun. It's like a very much a we got a little bit of a family game situation going on right now, which is great. Other than that, also been playing some Final Fantasy VII Remake. What I will say with that game, didn't play a ton, but I was testing out the combat. We had mentioned last week I was doing the normal mode, which is very much an action RPG, where you're doing the attacking, the blocking, and then choosing the skill-based attacks. Whereas they have the classic style, but I had my hesitation because when I read the description, it seemed like it wasn't really the true classic like turn-based style that I was hoping that it would be. And so I did try it out, and yeah, it is pretty much just the action RPG-ness that you have if you were playing normal, but it does the auto attacking and the blocking for you. So basically he's just out there juking and diving, attacking and blocking, and then when you're ready to choose like a magic attack, you can pause it to then select the magic attack. So I felt like that was a little too passive of play style. And the action RPG, like the combat in the game, is already really like satisfying. So I actually don't mind it. It's very much an action RPG, and I feel like it's a pleasant one to play, so I have no issues with it. And as I said, you can always pause it to then choose like your big attacks or your limit breaks. So there is that feel to, strategize from moment to moments. But then once you get off your attack, then once you get off your big attack, then you're doing your smaller attacks to build up your action bar to then, once again do the big attack. So it's a satisfying combat system. Really enjoyed playing it. Very beautiful game. And the other one that I've been playing, also like you, a lot of Diablo 4. I've been playing actually a lot of Diablo 4. In Torment 2, I texted you that I was struggling my way through Torment 2 to just make like to just find a way to push through those pits. And what I was realizing was that, I was surviving. I leaned heavy into survival and I was getting away with like my damage on Torment 1. Well, on Torment 2, I'm surviving, but the damage isn't quite there. So I can't really run through the pits how I'd like to, get to that pit boss or pit lord at the end and take his butt down before the time ends. And so I sat back, went looked at my character, examined my build, looked at some of the aspects that I had imprinted on my weapons, and one of the ones that I saw that I could switch out was it was Grizzly Rage, which is it's the ultimate. So with the imprint that I the aspect that I had on, I think it was my necklace, was that it would increase the time by like 8 seconds, and then it would add to the critical damage, like the as I got more critical strikes, which was cool, but I wasn't getting the damage that I wanted. So I was looking through the other aspects that I hadn't tried out yet, and I noticed that the one that they showed in like one of the previous seasons campfire chats, it was the one where I think you have a percentage chance of killing an enemy. Then you have a chance of summoning a werewolf. And as we were watching the playthrough, the testing of it, like, they ran through a horde, and next thing he had like 10 werewolf companions with him, to just, move along in the battle. And so I tried that one out. I have it for about 30 seconds. The werewolf, there's a 5% summoning chance on kill. And so that 5% was a little 5% was a little worrying, but I went through a couple hordes and I had like 8 wolves on me. So I was like, all right, that's totally, the reason why is because you fight so many enemies that they want to keep that percentage, a little in line, so your army game is just not out of control. And so it was nice, like just having that horde of wolves. I did see that there was a boost in damage as far as just what I was cutting through with the enemies. So they're definitely contributing to what I needed to make a difference. That opens up some other abilities that I can then switch in and out. And next thing I'm off and running. So I like what I have going on. Was testing this all out in the Helltides. Now I'm gonna try out an Infernal Horde, see how I do there. That's like really like the true test of like how much damage I can really squeeze out of like, some of those crazy situations in there. And then I'll start pushing those pits again, getting those glyphs up a little bit higher so I can squeeze out just that little bit more damage and make my way up to Torment 3. But yeah, just loving Diablo 4. I can't get enough of this game, and yeah, I'm looking forward to what they have coming in the next season. But yeah, hey Dub, let's take a quick break because we have a lot to talk about with our topic of the week, and we
Top
will be
topic
right
of the
back.
week.
And we are back. Hey Dub, do you want to lead us off with our first and probably only topic of the week?
Top topic of
Topic
the
of the
week.
week.
It'll be my pleasure, my good man. This past week, we got treated to the 10th anniversary of the Game Awards. Awards, awards,
Words,
awards.
words.
Yes, and man, they spared no expense. They pulled out all the stops with this show. I can easily say that this was the best Game Awards or like game presentation I've ever seen, ever. I mean, it was
Afer.
fantastic. I mean, it's the Jeff Keighley covered all the bases, man. He got the awards segment. He's got these just knockout reveals this year. We weren't treated to a bucket load of leaks and rumors about what's going to be in the show. So most, if not all of it, was a total surprise. Everybody got to see things for the first time together. So that helped enhance the overall impact of the show. I mean, there was homage, respect, and reverence paid to the gods of the industry. The overlap between music and television and film and video games becoming just more uniform, and we're just we're seeing it, man. We're watching the gaming industry grow up before our eyes, and we're also watching some of the greatest developers with some of their best offerings being recognized for what they brought to the table. So what we're gonna do, we're just gonna kind of go back and forth, go through the categories, talk about who won, and then let you know what was shown throughout the presentation. So, AMC, you want to lead off with that first category?
So we're doing categories, things that caught our eyes. How we doing? Or you want to do
I think we could
categories
do
first?
maybe a couple categories each, do game of the year, start talking about the announcements.
Okay. Do you want to lead off with it? I had the announcements pulled up. Let me get the category set up. Do you want to lead off the first one?
Absolutely, my good man. Let me
Yeah.
see. Let me see. And one I found interesting, the best performance category. So this one, the nominees were Hannah Tell for Life is Strange Double Exposure, Rihanna White, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Humberly Gonzalez, Star Wars Outlaws, Luke Roberts, Silent Hill 2, and Melina Jurgens, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2. Your man A-Dub was really pulling for Humberly Gonzalez because Star Wars Outlaws was easily one of the best games of the year. However, I could see the way things went with the winner being Melina Jurgens in Senua's Saga Hellblade 2. Game didn't really stick around very long. However, to try to discount the performance and the motion capture and just the overall production quality of the project, that would be a little disingenuous. So congratulations to Melina Jurgens. AMC, any thoughts about best performance?
Yeah, I mean, everything leading up to the release of that game was centered around the performance and how it was being captured. And so you would think that that would be a one of the strengths of the game, as far as at least from a marketing standpoint. And so to see, yeah, the lead performer of that win makes total sense. And I mean, totally killed it. You could see it all in the facial expressions captured within what Senua. And yeah, that's all because of the actor. And so I give credit to them and the capture team, all the balls that they probably had to put all over her face to capture all that. Yes.
I forgot about
Yeah.
them suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You got the next one.
Yeah, I got best multiplayer game. Highly debated. The nominees were Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Helldivers 2, Super Mario Party Jamboree, Tekken 8, and Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2-2-2. A lot of people like Warhammer 40K, but it didn't win. And Call of Duty's always there, but you always have to question, did they do enough to stand out to be best game of that year? Or were they just kind of, they're there and nothing else came out that was better than Call of Duty, so they won. That happened to not be the case this year because the winner in the game that our buddy Frank Grimes has probably been playing for about, this game's been out for, we're in month
Almost a
12.
year.
Yeah, it's been out for almost 10, 11 of the months out of the year. He's probably played it 9 of the months out of the year. That being Helldivers 2. No surprise, but I was curious if like Warhammer would gut out some type of victory here, but nah, that went to Helldivers. Helldivers won a couple awards, but yeah, what'd you think about Helldivers getting multiplayer game of the year?
Makes perfect sense, man. That insofar as the multiplayer games that have hit this year, Helldivers 2 definitely hit the hardest, made the largest impact. Like, especially with the announcement that they made during the show that they finally introduced the third enemy faction as well as a land vehicle for you and your homies to get around in, on top of this new faction being in an urban environment for the game, which is also going to be new. So, if you like running around in the sand or running around in the jungle, you can keep doing that. But now they got something for you, man, A-Dub, to come back to, because I'm the urban warrior of the crew. And when I start moving block to block, street to street, you don't know who it is. Yeah, Helldivers 2 definitely deserved it. I'm having it.
You got the next category.
Indeed, I do. I'm going to hit them with best action game. So in this category, they have Black Myth Wukong, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Helldivers 2, Stellar Blade, and Space Marine 2. So AMC, who did you bet your money on for this one?
For which one again?
Best action.
Best action. I think I had probably Warhammer.
That makes sense.
Absolutely loved Warhammer, but
Yeah, I was pulling for Helldivers 2, but we both got delivered the upset because the winner in the best action game category was Black Myth Wukong. I believe E-Single was playing this, and he's been hyping it up. I've heard great things from people that play it. I was following its development when it was back when it was on Unreal 4, and then moved to Unreal 5. I was very interested in it. I never saw exactly what I was looking for in the game from it, which was like, some exploration, some additional systems. It looked like it was a lot of combat, which looks incredible. But I don't know. I was just looking for something more. I'm still keeping my eye on Wukong. I do want to get into it because, again, it's gorgeous. The action looks incredible. So you know what? You got my attention, game science. Yeah, man. AMC, how did you feel about Black Myth taking this category?
Everything looked good about the game, from what I saw from a distance, as far as the combat. It's kind of the strong point of the game was just seeing that action and how stylized it was. And so many people had so many great things to say about the game. And so it totally makes sense to me that Black Myth would pick up a win here, because there are a lot of contested categories, but I think this was probably its best chance was winning that action performance. I got one that is best ongoing game. I had one that I was pulling for one of them games in here pretty hard. Let's see, the nominees were Destiny 2, Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, whatever, and Helldivers 2, yes. The winner here, A-Dub, not going to Diablo 4, not going to Fortnite. That it going to Helldivers 2 winning once again. Interesting that, best ongoing game, you would think a game that's been out for all these other ones have been out for
A
multiple
hot
years.
minute.
Yeah, Helldivers has been out for a couple of months. I get it, they're still updating it, but it hasn't even gone past the 1 year mark. And it's
Hating.
winning. It is winning the best ongoing game. Yeah, I don't know about this,
Don't know,
but
man. Th
I
those
am.
updates and changes were very substantial and game changing, in addition to the constant inclusion of new war bonds for people to work their way through as they're spreading democracy.
I thought people didn't like those updates.
Yeah,
No, but that's a good sign at least that the game is in a good place where people are, even if they had like gripes at one point, they are enjoying the game. And based off of what we saw coming, maybe they are like, we know they got some hotness coming also to this game. So it's all right to put it here in best ongoing because we know that that shit is going to be stepping its game up once they get that Warthog in there. So
yes.
yeah, I have no issues with Helldivers winning. I was just pulling hard for Diablo 4 just because.
I totally understand, but the thing about best ongoing game is that there's always next year. And on top of that, it also occurred to me like best ongoing game is the one category I think that's seeing the most growth and competition because so many games are ongoing games. And as long as games continue to get better, that category is going to be very hard fought.
I would say the most successful games and the most played games are the best ongoing games.
But then, on that note, the next category that I want to share, best adaptation, slowly filling in with top grade contenders. And this is, an interesting point in the growth and maturity of the video game adaptation. We're coming off the past year or two where we had the Sonic now trilogy with the third movie coming and a series spinoff, the Super Mario movie. The list is getting a bit thicker with quality bullet points. Here are The nominees for Best Adaptation: Arcane, Fallout, Knuckles, Like a Dragon Yakuza, Tomb Raider, The Legend of Lara Croft. So, good competition, but the winner here, surprisingly not Arcane, despite, all that visual flair and the music and the choreography and the planning, the cinematography. No, the winner of Best Adaptation was Fallout. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And you know
God,
what?
the
It
God.
deserved it. That's where I put my money on it. And yeah, man,
The
it wasn't
God.
just a Fallout TV show. Like, it's a show that felt like you were watching someone playing a Fallout campaign, from how they cover ground to their key locations, to the wardrobe, to the different character classes, I should say, the new and improved Pip-Boy that I need to get myself
Yes.
one of. Yeah, it's man, Fallout adaptation is so good. AMC, I hope you can get back into it one day, finish it off, because A Dub needs to talk to you about it. However, how do you feel about the outcome here?
Yeah, I was happy. It was Fallout was a movement when it came out. It sparked so much interest in every Fallout, like just property that came out, which is great for for Bethesda, even for Microsoft, just after spending all that money to generate that attention towards the brand. It's exactly what they needed. And as I said, Bethesda just always punching above their weight. People might question them, but they find a way, and to do it here in in another medium is just shows like the potential. It also validates everything that like Sony and other places were trying to do, and they were trying to they're saying we got these games, we have these properties, we could bring them to these other spaces and find other ways to connect with people outside of gaming. And we keep getting more and more of these examples of shows, of games that can be adapted to shows and just connect with the wider audience. That's how I got into Warhammer, is through the books, not through the tabletop. Actually, it's through the minifigures and then through the books, and then like, oh shit, there's like this whole tabletop thing going on. And who knows, eventually we got that Henry Cavill Warhammer show coming, so that might be another way for them to connect with a greater audience. So yeah, I think it's a great sign that between this and how much I've heard about Arcane, that's just one of those ones that I feel like I just have to watch, just because everybody just talks about how glorious that show is. So it seemed
It's
like
fabulous.
it was very tough competition, and to still see Fallout pull it out, I was happy to just see Todd Howard up there looking all dapper,
That suit.
in all his glory. Yeah, I was happy for the guy. But yeah, that's all I got for that one. A dub. Can I hit the
Got
big one?
you trying to hit the big one?
I just hit the big one because I want to get
Listen.
into these announcements because there's so
Yes,
many.
because it was substantial. So
It's
yeah. Well, just before we get to the big one,
yes.
most anticipated,
Oh,
you already know what it is. We told you this last week. GTA 6 took that. I'm sure that nobody voted for anything else. That's the most anticipated game. But AMC hit him with the big one.
We got that Game of the Year, A Dub, hotly
Yes.
contested, very much debated, heavily
So
debated.
debated, so assumed and alleged and prejudged.
So Game of the Year, the nominees being Astrobot, being Balatro, being Black Myth Wukong, being Elden Ring Shadow, the DLC, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth number 2, Metaphor Re Fantasio. So there were the options out there. People saying DLC should be up there for Game of the Year. Black Myth having its big following, but is it was it really polished enough at launch to warrant this? Balatro being that indie darling that if you haven't heard about it, then you might want to look it up because it's just the most addictive experience of the year. You know, you got more Final Fantasy, which people can't get enough of, and then Metaphor Atlas bringing it once again. You know what they do? They have Persona, but then they show up with something a little different, something a little better. And last but not least, we got Astrobot, PlayStation first party. Not enough for to be offering its community. They made all to do about Astrobot. You know, it's not quite enough. It's just a family game. But I really enjoy it. I really like the nostalgia. Really leans into this whole 30th year anniversary. Great game, but is it good enough for Game of the Year? Well, A dub, a round of applause goes to the winner. A 2024 Game of the Year, Astrobot, but. So yeah, this is awesome. They go up, they give their speech, just shouting out everybody in Japan to put in hard work into getting this game created into the greatest mascot. Oh, where are the mascots at?
Yeah,
Sony
where the
don't have any
mascots at?
mascots.
Got one.
Got one. The family game. Well, Knack's not that good. It's not a good enough family game. We're Sackboy. We're not seeing Sackboy that much lately. We got
Dang, get
that.
him right now.
We got that family game. Is this one on par with a Mario game? Is this on par with the best, the heavy hitters that Nintendo has to offer? Well, we see that the judges, the Jeff Keighley, put out a word. Now, we saw that there's some acknowledgement. Astrobot pulls out the big victory. I was stunned, but I was also happy to learn that this game was acknowledged for its glory. You know, there's always it's funny that these family games do win because It Takes Two had won, you know, a couple years ago. Great family style game, pulling out the victory. And once again, seeing here, Astrobot. I think Astrobot won Family Game of the Year at the Game Awards. And to also see it win Game of the Year, that it just shows that there are games that can appeal to kids while also, you know, just being super satisfying experiences and delivering a great visual product. It seems to have, you know, just you know, just connected with the voting base for the Game Awards. And to see this game get the victory, I can't knock it because there are so many other great games, but nothing that just stood out like, you know, like a Baldur's Gate 3 or an Elden Ring the year that it came out. And you know, the DLC thing may have held back Shadows of the Erdtree from winning, but the fact that it got here was, I think, the more notable part of it. So yeah, I had no issues with Astrobot taking this victory. How did you feel, A-Dub, about Astrobot getting the Game Awards Game of the Year?
Honestly, I was caught by surprise, but a pleasant surprise because no one I've heard has had anything bad about Astrobot. If you played it, you loved it, and you were like, yeah, this is great. It's Mario, but not Mario. And it's cute. It pays homage to the history of Sony. You know, I was pulling for Metaphor. I had a sneaking suspicion maybe Elden Ring might have took it because you know it wouldn't be there if it wasn't possible. But I think Astrobot Wing, that's good. And it also, I saw a thread online where someone was asking like, what message does the Astrobot Wing send to the industry? And my response was something along the lines of it tells the industry that you can make a game that's just lighthearted and fun and still succeed. Because I mean, Astrobot, first party, one platform. And it's resonating with people. It's reviewing extremely well, one game of the year. It's selling at its own pace. You know, it's not knocking people's socks off insofar as financials, but it's moving units. That's all that matters. So, you know, hopefully we see more developers making those lighthearted, fun, platforming, just whimsical kind of games, the things that capture our hearts and our imaginations all over again, make us remember what gaming is about. So yeah, congrats to Astrobot and what was it? Team Asobi, I believe their name is. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, that was awesome.
Hey, Deb, do you want to get into these announcements? Announcements? Announcements?
Yes, more
Announcements?
than anything, because man, I'm surprised none of this stuff leaked. Like
Yeah.
nothing. Every year it's always like, oh, well, this is the lineup. This is what they're gonna show. It's not gonna be gameplay. But this time, so many things were revealed that I had. Like, you know, some things are in the works. You expect some things will rear their heads, but to see them and know that, like, yes, this is the next shit. This is what it looks like. This show, head over heels, just delivered in that regard. The first big one that I want to talk about is that we got to see what we can expect from the world of The Witcher 4.
Four.
Yeah, so cinematic trailer, so nothing to get your hopes all built up about, but we see an odd ritual going on in a town, a lot of sad, somber folk sending a young woman off into the wilderness all on her own. It appears she's going to be sacrificing herself to a demon, maybe to appease its anger and bring prosperity back to her home. But your girl shows up. Yes, your girl, not your man Geralt, your girl
The writing,
Ciri. Yes,
the writing.
you know, she looks a little, she looks a little more mature, she looks a little weathered, she looks a little witcher with the mutations, with
A
the
little
eyes.
relatable.
Yeah, so you know, she comes in, she swoops in, lets homegirl know, just like, yo, this isn't a thing like that, get out of here, go back home, let me take care of this. And you know, proceeds to start witching, as one might say. You know, she's using potions, she's using signs, it's crazy. And then she comes back with the head of the beast, only to find the woman that she saved has been stabbed and is gone. So, you know, just giving you that Witcher style atmosphere of, you know, choice and consequence, and your choices having lasting effects, showing you that things aren't sunshine and rainbows when it comes to their world, and you should expect the grisliest of outcomes. It's nice to see where they're going with it. It's starring Ciri, that's making me want to go back, play The Witcher 3, and actually complete my campaign so that I can be all caught up and know where the springboard is for how we're getting to Witcher 4. AMC, how did you feel about it?
I was pleasantly surprised to see what just The Witcher here. They just announced what the other week that they were in full development, and to then have this trailer ready to go. Didn't see gameplay, but we got plenty to know what's going on from a character standpoint. Enjoying that they're going to continue with Ciri, so it seems like a natural progression. Maybe like what Uncharted might do one day. But the character is understandable. It's not just a random like, hey, we're throwing in this random female Witcher. It's a handoff. We got introduced to her what as a kid, pretty much, and adolescent, and now she's holding it down. So I'm interested. I am interested too to just see what differences there will be as you're playing with Ciri, because I felt like the first game was a little horny with Yennefer. And so will Ciri still be horny? Will there be a male counterpart or a female horny counterpart for Ciri? Or will the game have a different tone?
I
But
want options.
it'll be interesting to play as Ciri as the main character, and really just to see what they can do with a modern Witcher game. Some of the abilities, just how beautiful. One of the things I remember from The Witcher 3 was just how beautiful and how alive the nature was, with the trees swaying when that gust of wind would pick up as you're riding on the horse.
That might have
Because
been the
that is.
first game where I saw trees sway in the wind and was like, this is fucking next year.
Yeah. And so knowing that they're going to bring that in the polish of the presentation of The Witcher 3, but to a modern console base, because it was just all about the performances. Like, you do a side quest and the performances were just ridiculous. So
Bloody Baron.
to the point where like I had to stop playing the game because I did too many side quests, and then I was like, I guess I should play the I should like mainline this game, and I was just like, I was all played out at that point. And so yeah, the game is huge. It's great. I'm interested to see what they have to offer with The Witcher 4 and your girl. So yeah, I can't wait. I got the next one, A-Dub. This was in the pre-show. I'm pulling my
Oh.
notes from Eurogamer, that being Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden is back, A-Dub. Let's see,
Yeah,
Ninja
that one
Gaiden
took me by
returns.
surprise.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden returns from the maker of Blasphemous. So here's their write-up. Well, that's
Oh.
certainly one way to kick off the Game Awards pre-show. Ninja Gaiden is back with Ninja Gaiden Ragebound, which you know what that Ragebound. Made by the Game Kitchen, the studio behind the Rock Hard, Soulsy, Metroidvania, Blasphemous, and Dotemu, and the publishers behind Streets of Rage 4. Ragebound looks set to follow in Blasphemous 2D pixel art footsteps for an agile slice and dice adventure that almost certainly going to kick our collective asses when it arrives in summer 2025. So yeah, this game just has all the presentation there. Looks like you're one shot in everybody, but what I love about it is, you know, it's modern. You know, we're in this like modern retro renaissance. Everything's in a renaissance, as I say, A-Dub. But as far as like the beat 'em ups, we've had that modern this take on it, but in that retro look with the Ninja Turtles games and the Power Rangers games. And now with the Messenger, we had those odes, those homages to Ninja Gaiden, but now I feel like we're getting now just the true Ninja Gaiden. And you know, just seeing as he slices the enemies and the blood squirt out of them, the wall jumping, so it has like that precise platforming. I did hear that those Ninja Gaiden games were tough back in the day, so I wonder if they will keep some of that difficulty. But yeah, this game looks like an awesome, just modern take of what people loved about the old Ninja Gaiden games. And you know, if they worked on Streets of Rage 4, which I heard a lot of great things about, I'm definitely expecting big things from this game. A-Dub, what did you think when you saw this game in the pre-show?
Well, I played Streets of Rage 4 for like a hot 10, 15 minutes, and I loved it. I'm not even into like brawlers like that or beat 'em ups, shmups, or whatever like that. So for Streets of Rage to hook me at the outset, or at least not so much hook me as just delight me at the outset. Huge deal. So I'm very much looking forward to this Ninja Gaiden. Just watching the action and the animations, it's just, you know, because I come from my earliest history with Ninja Gaiden was on the NES. The cartridge, it had like the orange background with the purple ninja on it and the gold letters. I just don't remember which one that is. However, that's what I remember. And seeing that 2D side scrolling Ninja Gaiden and all its just high res, multicolored glory just felt like, yes, this is bringing it to the modern era. So I'm keeping my eye on that. I don't know if I'll actually get into it. However, I am intrigued knowing that it's being made by the Blasphemous developer and being worked on by Streets of Rage 4 people. That could be an incredible combination if that trailer is anything to go by. So pumped. And
Yes. All
then
right. Let's take a quick break and then you'll have the next game.
all right.
A-Dub, what you got next?
Next, in the same fashion as, oh, wait a minute, I didn't talk about that game. I can't introduce it like that. Well, in its own fashion, since it's the one that I'm introducing, this is like a dream game, and I feel like this is a dream that a lot of people gave up on over the years. I mean, this goes all the way back to the PS2 area, much like another game. However, this one holds a special place in my heart because we finally got to get confirmation as well as a conceptual look into what to expect for the sequel to the beloved, the treasured, the renowned Okami. And on top of that, it's being directed by Hideki Kamiya. So it's, oh man. When this happened, when I saw that wolf dog running through those open fields and then becoming Amaterasu, getting all the equipment back, getting the flaming wheel back. I gotta learn what that is. I'm sure it's like a wheel of creation or something like that. But just seeing that dog cutting through the air like that again, it brought back all the memories, and now I get to look forward to eventually being able to play a sequel to that fantastic title. AMC, how did you feel after the riveting performance with the taiko drums and the orchestra of Battle Kami?
Oh my gosh, it's that's a game that takes me back. What was that, PS2 maybe? I don't know. And just such an amazing game, a game that like felt like it was made for like the Wii. And just worked really well though on the sticks. And I truly enjoyed playing that game. Just so memorable from just a presentation standpoint. You know, the games where you make the world beautiful. We've had games like it, but this one was very different, especially that whole paintbrushing gameplay aspect to it. Like you're doing the calligraphy and all that stuff, so it really connects you with like all of with that, I don't know, that world, that presentation, and that culture. And I really enjoyed that, learning about, was it Amaterasu, like for the first, like really like learning, I guess, my introduction to that character from Japanese lore, and playing it in this game. I can't wait to see what a modern, sequel, because they're not doing like a remaster or a remix, they're doing a straight up sequel. So I'm interested to see like what a modern take on Okami will be, and a continuation from where they left off of how they what they plan to expand upon that storyline. So that definitely ended up being a pleasant surprise. And man, I can't wait to play this game, A-Dub. Where are you at with yourself? This is a day one, like already
Oh,
without knowing
absolutely.
much.
Day one pre-order. Not gonna do the expensive edition, but it shall be had, it shall be played. Oh, on this TV with the DualSense Edge. I'm so ready. I am so ready. But AMC, you got our next one.
Yeah, maybe you were mentioning this one. We could do this one also briefly. Another surprise, A-Dub, coming in 2026. That'd be an Onimusha Way of the Sword. Let's see, from Eurogamer. Heck yeah, Capcom. Yeah, Capcom was showing up big at the award show.
Capcom, stay killing it.
Onimusha is back. Only a very brief cinematic reveal trailer for this one, sadly, but the sword slicing was the shit. I added that in. Also, the monsters. 2026 cannot come soon enough. A-Dub. Last time I remember Onimusha, I had my boy John Renault with me. We were doing the thing. Me and the professional were handling business. And just one of the great cutscenes of a video game. Just and that was during the era of what the PS3, where it's like we have these immaculate, just 5 minute long cutscenes. People were really just like, people were trying to decide like, do we love this? I mean, it's awesome, but do we really love this over gameplay? But Onimusha was bringing it back then, also with the great gameplay. And it's been so long since I had even thought about Onimusha, and to know that Capcom is bringing it back. 2026 doesn't matter, we're getting it anyways. We see them souls floating, we know what it's all about, collecting. And what did you think, A-Dub, knowing that we now have Onimusha also coming back?
I felt like a kid again, man, because Onimusha, it was one of the first games where I mastered the gameplay, where the enemies just couldn't touch me. I was getting the maximum payouts. I was just running through all the missions. I think there was like a tower or something that you could ascend and get additional rewards. Like Onimusha just resonated with me in a way that, an increasing number of games do these days, but back then it was few and far in between to get just an original out there, like unique and thought-provoking idea. That was Onimusha at the time, and now by the time 2026 rolls around, I'll probably be playing Okami and Onimusha at the same time. Never thought I'd ever say that. Never thought that would ever happen for me. So, I mean, this Game Awards just making dreams come true one title at a time. And speaking of making dreams come true, another developer stepped out of the shadows and revealed what's going on behind the curtain. This was the big announcement at the end of the show. We got to see a completely just unknown language, a translation, and then we go into this Akira-esque Cowboy Bebop style trailer with this pulling out from this planet through a broken moon. We focus on this Porsche spaceship hovering in space. Our main character comes out, cleaning that head up, getting ready for business. And she gets on a phone call, sets up a target. We learn that she's a bounty hunter. She's got a massive CD collection in her CD changer. She's got on the freshest Adidas that you've ever seen, illuminated badass leather jacket. And then we push forward. We get a brief scene where she's running in the game world and taking what looks like a laser sword that represents a waveform or an equalizer and slicing into some kind of threatening robot. And we get that logo at the end. It's that paw print. It's Naughty Dog giving us Intergalactic, the Heretic Prophet. Yeah, this game is going to be starring Tati Gabrielle, who's going to be playing Jordan. The cast is also going to be filled out with other notable talents such as Kumail Nanjiani. The blurb about the game gives you an idea of the world, the tension, the circumstances. But then one particular line stand, or a couple particular lines stands out. When it comes to Jordan going to this planet, I can't find the name of the planet at this moment, but it says anyone who's flown to it, hoping to unravel its mysterious past, was never heard from again. Jordan will have to use all her skills and wits if she hopes to be the first person in over 600 years to leave its orbit. So yes, we're dealing with sci-fi, we're dealing with far future. We might not be dealing with space exploration and planets and all that, but it seems that at a minimum, we're dealing with going to an alien world, unraveling its mysteries, pursuing our target, and finding a way to get the hell out of that situation. It looks as stylish as it is highly produced. It looks original. It looks out there. It's something that's just wholly different from anything that we've seen before from Naughty Dog. And in general, it's up there with the likes of Cyberpunk and the likes in terms of overall style and uniqueness. But Naughty Dog, they're on to something with this one. AMC, how did you feel about the reveal of Intergalactic, the Heretic Prophet?
Oh, pleasant surprise, pleasantly surprised, A-Dub. We've had the Uncharted, we've had Last of Us, we got that zombie game, we got that, that Tomb Raider,
That
indie
adventure fortune
stuff,
hunting
adventure,
game.
Fortune Hunter. And so they could have gone like two direct, they could have gone fantasy, but instead they decided to go sci-fi, and I was pleasantly surprised just seeing that ship. That retro feel to it as they're playing the music and the attire, but then just being sci-fi as well, welcome addition, showing that combat with the sword. I also think that's cool because I as much as I enjoy Last of Us, I'm not the biggest stealth person. Maybe this game will have stealth also, but I'm not the biggest stealth person. I know that this is kind of going to be, it looks like it's going to be possibly leaning into a more action-oriented space. It's also a little bit different from where they've been because Uncharted, a lot of gunplay. Then you got Uncharted, a lot of gunplay, and then even in like Last of Us, I mean, you got your guns and that's keeping you going, but it's more of a survival, but still you're relying on a lot of guns and maybe that axe or like a hand-to-hand, but you don't want to get into too much hand-to-hand once you get up against like the higher level clickers. And to knowing that you might be able to hold your own and just loving the design of At least that first enemy type that they showed us, like that looking like homeboy from Star Wars with the mini
Oh,
lightsabers.
Grievous.
Grievous, yeah, like just liking that robot design and what that means and the possibility of, exploration from the possibility that they might actually just go, I don't know, open world necessarily with this, but like you're gonna be in a ship, so I'm curious how much flight you're gonna be doing and traveling. Because their games aren't necessarily known for being super open. And so knowing that that could also be a possibility from them just seems like they might be expanding their horizons as far as their play style and what they could, what they tend to deliver. So I know nothing, but I'm liking what I'm hearing, especially from the cast and everything, with Kumail Nanjiani. I guess maybe that's another thing that with the idea of like the success of The Last of Us and how it's a game that was so readily and easily, not easily, but successfully at adapted to, a television series. And I'm guessing maybe some of the stuff that Neil Druckmann's experience from, working with those actors and having that lens, that perspective, and to now see that come show up in its cast. It's something that we could expect from Kojima, but now to also see it from Neil Druckmann. I'm just liking that more and more of these creative leads are tapping into, these specialized talents to contribute to their games to, just give it a little more flair from from a presentation standpoint. And yeah, so I'm loving everything that I'm seeing so far, and I can't wait to hear more about this game. Definitely the biggest surprise of the show for me. That's all I got there.
I mean, that talent doesn't get more specialized than Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, who are making an original score for the game. It just keeps getting better. Oh man. So yeah, they've been working on this for a while. We finally get to see it, and I want to see all of it. I'm buying that art book, I'm watching that documentary. Whatever involves this game, I want everything to do with it. So, and it's on the note with Kumail and the better talent, it's like, maybe games are getting to this point where Hollywood talent is trying to get in on games with the prospect of like, oh, well, this might get adapted. This might be a movie. This might be a television show, and you could springboard from there. But speculation, just letting
Yeah, I
all of that
mean,
race.
I get that from a momentum standpoint. What I was thinking about as you said that was wrestling. The Rock, his movies have been somewhat hit or miss like lately. You think about Black Adam. What was that movie that came out this year? The Christmas one.
The red one.
Yeah, the red one. And his one of the kind of the jokes with the wrestling community is whenever The Rock has like a somewhat disappointing movie, he shows back up in wrestling to like kind of reconnect with like the crowd because it's an easy victory for him. And so yeah, I wonder if like
Supplement that income.
yeah so yeah I wonder if with actors, you see actors showing up more in like commercials now, if they look at like video gaming like a way to just kind of keep that momentum in between projects going and to also just connect with a passionate fan base. Because gamers, like, once they love your performance in a game, they'll never forget that. And Troy Baker's filling that right now with Indiana Jones, getting that love. And so yeah, you see like people like Kumail. It's like, hey, it's a way to just connect with a base. And he once had a video gaming podcast, so it's not like he's a person that's on the outside of gaming. And so yeah, it's I'm sure it's one of those things that he's always wanted to do and now has an opportunity to show up in a big way with a Naughty Dog game. So best place possible, I would say.
I believe Troy Baker will star in a big Hollywood film before 2030.
Damn.
I don't know. Let's see what happens. But yeah, man, speaking of momentum, there are some people who find themselves pushing a boulder uphill who tend to fall backwards while the rest of us dart forward. They go by trolls. They are troll of the week.
Week,
Troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll of the
week,
week,
troll of the
troll
week,
of the
week,
week,
week, week,
week,
week,
week, week,
week, week,
week,
week.
week, week, week,
So I'll just,
week.
I'll get through these a little briskly because it's the same old same. Quite frankly, I don't know, man. I think there's not much more room for these trolls to go as the years roll by. First troll says, "Not much shown to get excited for." I'm like, "What? You just sell your consoles, buy a bow and arrow, and just practice archery for the rest of your life." Next troll says, "PlayStation is the king and Xbox dead." That's a bit much, considering that Obsidian has two major releases dropping next year when you include Outer Worlds 2, which was also announced at the show. Next troll says, "The Naughty Dog game looks like the single player campaign to Concord."
What are you trying
Oh,
to
I'll let that one slide.
say
Oh, man. Next troll says, "Glad I skipped the show. Nothing of any real interest here, and the awards themselves are just a scam." Like, they're not worth money. And they're hoping people get better jobs and higher pay. So I don't know what the scam is there. Oh, Jeff Keighley and his friends, the Murder Mystery Club. Next troll says, in regards to intergalactic heretic profit, product placement, the game. Say what you want. I hope there's more product placement. I hope it's out of control. Last troll says, second to last draw, "It's funny you're knowing Bethesda has to win with a TV show as their games aren't winning shit right now." I mean, I think it's funny that Todd Howard can win for a TV show as well as a video game, and just casting a wider net and reeling in all the tuna. Last troll says, "Blah." So yeah, man, kind of covered it with each troll. It's just, you guys, this was the best showing ever. No leaks, got top tier announcements, dream games becoming reality, expansions, sequels, new IPs, all kinds of genres, all kinds of play styles, online multiplayer, live service, co-op, split screen that people say is going away. We got it all, man. Like, we literally have it all. It's time to be happy. It's time to rejoice. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on in the years to come. AMC, what's your resolution?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. It always works out for us these years. We always have, like, at the troll least, the exact we're gonna retire. One of the funny ones is just all year hearing about PlayStation and its first party offering and how its customer base was lacking. They just starving out here, just looking anywhere for a third party publisher to provide them something. Astrobot shows up, gets game of the year. Not even the game that like everybody was talking about all year, which was Helldivers 2. Not the follow-up to the hit Final Fantasy VII Remake Rebirth. No, Astrobot shows up here and wins game of the year over DLC, over Metaphor ReFantazio, the greatest Atlus game ever made.
Damn.
And everything at Blacho, greatest indie game of all time. Yeah, so just happy to see that. Happy to see people proven wrong once again.
Damn.
And then also just for your boy, once again, people always want to act like they always want to they complain about how like TV studios, how they always have their notes for the writers and trying to tell them what to do. Yet the community is always trying to hand notes to Jeff Keighley telling him what to do. And yet, once again, Jeff Keighley proving everybody wrong, showing up with the dope ass show, got Harrison Ford, got everybody in the industry showing up just to be seen, just to be heard from.
Got the
And
Muppets.
got the Muppets just saying all the things that you want to say, but from a
Nah.
but with better delivery and more
Yes.
eloquently. So yeah, it just everything was there. I loved it. Best game show award ever outside of the Trollies. Nothing to
Yes.
knock. And yeah, my man Jeff, looking forward to everything that you have to offer moving forward.
Troll of
Troll
the
of the
week.
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
week.
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
week.
week,
Troll of the
troll of the
week.
week, 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 week,
My
week,
man
week.
created a new category for real game changers in the industry, awarded it to Amir Satvat. Growing, changing, expanding, becoming more mature, becoming better. I mean, just star-studded event. Ever, nobody got played off.
Nope, nobody did. Didn't notice that.
Nobody got played off. Just funny, nice and tight, and still 3 hours long. So awesome, man. It was a great show. Unfortunately, we don't get to, we're not going to be able to talk about every game. Like, let me just see something else. We know we got the co-op Elden Ring spinoff coming out, Elden Ring Night Rain. So that's something to look forward to. E-singles pump for that. Fumito Ueda revealed their next game, currently titled Project Robot. So all the people who said that Sony gave up on Japan, abandoned them, and they shut down Japan studio and will never get that talent again. You're getting that talent again. Imagine that. And yeah, the list goes on. Mafia, The Old Country, Project Century, Ryuga Gotoku is putting out two games, Virtual Fighter coming back. Got Aaron Paul and Laura Bailey and Dispatch. Like, the list goes on. The Game Awards were outstanding. If you haven't watched them, you need to go do that.
All right, well, this is Control Issues. I am the
And this is it, girl. We are Control Issues. Thanks for playing. Sucker.
Thank you.